Well, Charles Henry Heyer's story begins like so many others in this country. Born in New York State in 1854, the son of German immigrants, he learned the cobbler's trade from his father when the family lived in Kankakee, Illinois. Heyer then moved further west, working not as a shoemaker, but as a railroad worker. Eventually, he landed in Olathe, and it was from there that C.H. Heyer's life took the turn that made history. Here to help us tell the rest of the story is Sandra Kelly. She's executive director of the Deaf Cultural Center Foundation in Olathe. Sandra, nice to have you. Welcome to Up to Date.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, get us started here, Sandra. Charles lands in Olathe, and he ends up getting a job where?
He actually was very tired of all the lice and the poor conditions on the railroads, and they're happy.
Tired of lice, really? Yeah.
And he was aware that the Kansas School for the Deaf, it wasn't called that at the time, but it had moved to the Olathe area 10 years previously, and they were actually looking for some vocational teachers for the students. And he thought to himself, you know, I've got a trade. So he talked with them about the possibility of becoming the shoe repair and harness instructor at the School for the Deaf.
And what year are we talking about here?
That was in 1875. And he worked at the school for 6 years as their very first vocational teacher.
And he's teaching the making of shoes. He's teaching the making of harnesses for horses, all those kinds of things.
Exactly.
Popular guy. They like him?
They loved him. He was wonderful.
Do we know how he communicated with the students? I mean, how he was able to give them instructions?
You know, I don't have any information on that, but
you
do kind of wonder. I'm sure that he picked up a way of communicating with them. And when you're working with your hands, it's very visual. And so I'm sure all he had to really do was show them, do it like this, and they would follow. And that's what they did.
How well did the school pay teachers back in those days?
Not very well.
Not very well. Do you know how much?
No, I don't.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere he was making like $30 a month or something like that. That sounds about
probably
right.
Probably about right.
Maybe you still owe him some back pay here.
Yeah.
Was he content with that, or did he have other plans in mind?
Well, I can only surmise that he probably figured out he could make a lot more money on the outside. But he managed to save back a little bit of his money, and with his brother, they decided that they would go ahead and set up shop in Olathe as a shoe repair shop.
Hmm. And off he went.
And off he went.
Then a few years after his arrival here, a customer comes into his shop and asks for what? And this is where the history starts.
Exactly. A customer comes into his shop and wants a pair of boots. And so Charles made this pair of boots, and the customer came back and said, you know, they're just not quite right. And so he tried again a second time and still wasn't satisfied. And the third time, he tried on the boots, and they were absolutely perfect. And what the difference was Heyer added a heel to the boot, which was something that had never been done before.
And heels hadn't been added before?
Had not been added. And the importance of this was when a person got on their horse and slipped their feet into the stirrup, they didn't want the feet to keep slipping. Mm-hmm. And so the heel prevented the boot from slipping on through the stirrup.
So we're talking about a high heel here then.
Correct.
Maybe more specifically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And did he also come up with the pointed boot idea?
The pointed boot
that
idea.
That would go through the stirrups more cleanly.
Exactly. As well as having something to pull the boots on with. So you've got the loops on either side, so you can grab onto those as you pull your boot on. And my understanding is there really wasn't a lot of differentiation between a left shoe and a right shoe. And he actually took measurements for both feet to make sure that the boot fit well.
So he makes this boot, and the third time he comes up with the right model for his customers. Customer rides off into the sunset, and you think that could be the end of the story, but it's not.
No, the word spread, and people saw this person who had, and we don't know who the person was, but saw his boot. Where'd you get that? And
one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talked about this little town of Olathe, Kansas, is where he got his boot, and so people started coming in to have their boots made.
Oh, that's really interesting. So then what happened? He starts making these things, and how did that go?
Well, as I say, the word spread, and it's interesting, some of the interesting characters that ended up buying his boots. There were people like Billy the Kid. Let's see. I've got.
Got your handy cheat sheet there.
Yeah, I do. Buffalo Bill. And it just kind of spread, and it continued to spread. I mean, there's some very well-known people that ended up getting boots. Clark Gable, Vice President Richard Nixon, just to mention a few, Gene Autry, Roy Rogers.
Really?
Just, it goes on and on.
So word spread like wildfire. They
were
so good.
Absolutely.
Hey, so what kind of production line did Heyer set up to begin to make these things?
But it ended up fairly significant. At one time, he had 77 employees working there. And what's really interesting is 32 of these individuals.
Hmm. And how long did that company last?
The company started in 1881, I believe, mm-hmm. and then it was sold in 1977 to a Ben Miller boot company, was then relocated to El Paso, Texas, and it pretty much has closed down. There is the son of the owner is still alive, and he has a small shoe repair shop. So it's almost like it's gone full circle.
Wow. Let me get our listeners involved here. If you own a pair of Heyer cowboy boots, give us a call and tell us how you like them. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Well, again, tell us a little more about the production line itself and how did he make different tasks so that people could work on things and produce these boots?
Well, apparently there were 200 parts to making a Heyer boot. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot involved.
200 parts.
200 parts.
I wouldn't have thought that.
I wouldn't have either.
Yeah.
And so you can see very finely crafted. If you've got that many parts, and it started out with a very, very large piece of leather that got cut down in order to make the boots. And interesting variety of skins that were used because, of course, there were you have your cow leather, but also kangaroo, crocodile, emu, I think. I don't know. They're just all kinds of different kinds of leather that were used.
He was very committed to the school for the deaf in that he continued to employ so many of them for so much. Tell us about his commitment there.
Very committed to the school. And in fact, at one point in his life, he served one session on the state legislature for the purpose of advocating for the school. He only stayed for one session because he got a little bit disgusted with the politics that went on. And so he quit. He didn't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
But his...
Imagine that. Boy, do I get that.
But his son, elder son, also served on the legislature advocating for the school. So the family was very, very tied into the success of the school. I think he recognized that these individuals who were deaf were very capable and felt like they just weren't getting a fair deal in finding a career and being able to be a part of the society.
Let's go to some phone calls here at 816-235-2888. We're talking about the history of the cowboy boot that has its origins right here in Olathe, Kansas, it turns out. Who knew? Mike from Kansas City, Kansas. You're on Up to Date, Mike.
Steve, this is Mike Thiessen, and I'll make it brief. My dad took me out to the Heyer's Boot Company in 1965 in the spring of 65, my senior year in high school, bought me a pair of Heyer's boots that I still wear today.
Huh. Can you, Mike, hang on a second. Can you still buy the boots as Heyer boots?
I think if you look on eBay, you might be able to find some.
Used boots, you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. Describe the quality to us, Mike.
Well, I don't wear them all the time, but I'm a tall guy. I'm a little over 6'6", and these things make me really tall. But I've had them resold maybe twice in all these years. I should say I've had them resold a lot. The heels only been replaced twice. The loops have been replaced repeatedly because I get inflexible as you get older, and I got to pull real hard to put the darn things on.
Yeah, but clearly it's a quality boot.
It's lasted 50 years.
Yeah. What skin was used to make the boots you have, Mike?
It's a pigskin. It's not a smooth leather. It's kind of a rough pigskin.
Wow.
Design and it's just pigskin.
A lot of your buddies have them too?
I don't know anybody who's been dumb enough to own a pair of boots for 50 years.
I'm glad you called, Mike. Thanks for the phone call.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more then about what happened to the company, Sandra, as after it was sold back in the 70s, I think you said.
Right. It was sold in 1977 and relocated to El Paso, Texas. And I don't think it ever experienced the kind of notoriety that it had when it was in Olathe. I know during the time that Charles Heyer and his family owned the business in Olathe, it was suggested to him that he might want to relocate to a larger community, but he didn't want to leave Olathe. Hmm. He liked that he was in the small town and didn't want to leave.
And so that's why he sold it then.
Right.
Yeah. So this week, the Deaf Cultural Center Foundation is celebrating C.H. Heyer and his association with the Deaf School. What can people expect when they show up to Friday's Ungala, which I'll talk about here in just a moment? And what is an Ungala?
Well, an Ungala is you don't have to get dressed up to go and have fun, as opposed to a gala.
Ah, so an Ungala.
It's okay. An Ungala. We wanted to have something that was a little more casual, and it was a natural fit to be able to honor Charles Heyer. In fact, Charles Heyer's granddaughter still lives in Olathe,
and
she and her husband are our honorary chair people for the Ungala.
Is this an annual gala?
Biannual.
Biannual, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to kind of kick back. We've got a barbecue. We're hoping to have stagecoach rides, kind of depending on what the weather's going to do. We'll be located at the Heritage Center on the Mahaffey Farmstead.
Sure.
And we'll have a DJ, we'll have dancing, we have just a lot of fun things going on.
And the Deaf Cultural Center hosts the Boots and Barbecue Ungala Friday evening from 5 to 10 at the Heritage Center, 1200 East Kansas City Road in Olathe. I know exactly where that is. More information, go to deafculturalcenter.org, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Jim from Independence. Jim, you're on Up to Date.
Yes, I was just telling the lady that I grew up in Olathe.
The lady is Danny Alexander, our producer, by the way, Jim. Yeah.
I'm sure she's a lady.
Most days, yeah.
Well, at any rate, I went to school in the 50s and early 60s. And when I went to grade school in Olathe, I lived in the north part of Olathe, and we would pass by the Heyer Boot Company on our way to grade school frequently. And it was on Chestnut Street, and it was a large stone building, nice-looking building, and they had a large display window in the front of it. And the interesting thing was that in the display window, they had lasts from boots that they had made for either famous people or for unusual feet. And I remember they had a last for a giant and one for a small person. And they had, like, I really think they had Gene Autry's last in there. And these were wooden lasts that had been carved, you know, to fit the feet of these particular people or types of people. And it was just fascinating to go by there, and we would do that. We'd go by there and just, you know, look at all these different lasts. And it was always, you know, something good to do on the way home.
Yeah, right. That's a good phone call, Jim. I'm glad you made it. Thanks very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
You bet. Well, Sandra, you're executive director of the Deaf Cultural Center Foundation in Olathe. What is that?
We are, first of all, we have an incredible museum, and everybody is welcome to come out and see what we have. It focuses on deaf culture in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We also have community programs that we do. We offer sign language classes and deaf-friendly business training. And we're fairly young. I tell people that our programming really did not start until 2008. So we're just kind of trying to figure out what direction we're going to head next.
Are you set up to support the school out there?
No, we are separate. In fact, it's recently been pointed out to us that we are the only museum of deaf history and deaf culture in the United States that is not connected with a school.
So you have a museum, an actual museum.
We have a museum, and everybody's welcome to come.
Yeah, tell us about the museum. What's there?
Oh, the museum kind of takes you on a journey of deafness in America. And it does have a section that talks about the School for the Deaf, but that's pretty universal when you come to schools for the deaf in any city, in any state. There are also information and resources for individuals who are losing their hearing. We have a lot of folks that stop by to see if they can find out information.
And can you help them?
We do the best that we can. We're connected with an awful lot of folks in the area, and we try to find help for everybody.
Is there progress being made when it comes to older folks losing their hearing and maybe being able to stave that off?
Yes, and yet it's not the older folks that I am concerned about. It's the younger people that are losing their hearing because they're wearing their earbuds way too loud. And it's a noisy environment that we live in. And once you lose your hearing, you're never going to get it back the way you had it. Yes, there are hearing aids. Yes, there are cochlear implants, but you don't get back what you had in the same quality. So important to protect your hearing.
Is it tinnitus? What's the word I'm looking for?
Tinnitus.
Tinnitus. Okay, well, on the fourth time I would have gotten it, right? Which is ringing in the ears, right? I've got some of that. What's the future hold for that?
I would highly recommend that you talk with an audiologist, a really good audiologist, because they're the ones that have the information that can help.
What else do you have in the museum?
We have all kinds of artifacts from the school and from other schools. We have a lot of videos. Videos we did interviews with members of the deaf community, and it's fun to see their experiences. All of this is captioned, of course. And we do have some artwork that is, it's called Devia, which is art representing elements of deaf culture. Fascinating genre.
Yeah. Well, a quick check of both eBay and Google shows that quite a few vintage pairs of higher boots are still available. Prices range from under $50 to $299. Danny Alexander just found. Not bad, eh?
Yeah.
KCUR just reported on research that's looking at regenerating the tiny hairs that allow us to hear. When deaf people hear news like that, do I think of, you know, becoming hearing again? Is that possible?
Not in my lifetime, probably.
Yeah.
And I think it depends, because there's such a wide range of individuals that have hearing loss. Individuals who are born deaf, many of them could care less if they had hearing or not, because that's not their world.
That's
They're
so
absolutely fine. The people that have struggled the most are those that had hearing and are losing it.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
Yeah. Well, Sandra Kelly is executive director of the Deaf Cultural Center Foundation in Olathe. Again, the Deaf Cultural Center hosts the second biannual Boots and Barbecue Ungala. That'll be on Friday evening from 5 to 10. More information, deafculturalcenter.org. Sandra, thanks so much for coming in. So
Thank
nice
you
to have you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.